Today we're doing Daf Kuf Zayin and Beis Masechus Mitzia. Everyone got it. We are up to Vehesi Hashem Mimcha Kol Choli. We're going to talk a little bit about Ayin Hara. Ayin Hara. So the Moshe Rabbeinu gives a bracha to Klal Yisrael that if they observe Torah and Mitzvos, then Hashem is going to remove from them Kol Choli. Right? Anything that any illness. Amar Rav Zu Ayin. That actually refers to Ayin Hara that a person gives on somebody else. How do we learn what's the best way to get rid of Ayin Hara, to avoid Ayin Hara?
Red bracelet.
Not wearing a red bracelet, right? Being tsanua, staying away from the public eye. Rav L'tamei. This is Rav L'shitaso. The Rav Salik L'Bei Kivrei. Rav went once to a Beis HaKvaros. What is a Beis HaKvaros?
Cemetery.
Very good. V'avad Maita Avad. He did what he did, meaning he said some sort of incantation to figure out what was going on in the kvarim, meaning how people got there, and he was able to figure out like the backstories of how everyone ended up dead. Amar Tishin v'Tisha ba'Ayin Ra ve'Echad b'Derech Eretz. So he assessed 100 graves. 99 of them, he said, died from Ayin Hara, and one b'Derech Eretz. What's b'Derech Eretz in this context? Normal way, right? The way that people normally die. So Ayin Hara is really bad. Shmuel Amar Zeh Ruach. Shmuel says, no, you know what Kol Choli means? It's a reference to Ruach, wind blowing on a person. What does that mean? Wind blowing on a person? So I'm not sure. So Shmuel Taimei, this is Shmuel Lishitaso. Damar Shmuel HaKol Beruach, that all illnesses come because of the Ruach. Shmuel Ha'ika Haruge Malchus. Wait a second. How could Shmuel say that everyone dies from Ruach? What about the Haruge Malchus? What are Haruge Malchus?
Like Asara Haruge Malchus, or just like Asara Haruge Malchus, or like
Asara Haruge Malchus are examples of Haruge.
People that die by the state, killed by the government.
Haruge Malchus are people that are killed by the government. People who rebel against the king or whatever. So Shmuel Ha'ika Haruge Malchus. So says Mar Hanachnami Ilavzika Avdilu Sama. Even for people who are Haruge Malchus, if not for the wind, there would be some sort of way to cure them. There would be some sort of the Melech stabs you with a sword or something. If not for the wind getting in, there would be some way to cure the person. So ultimately, it's because of Ruach. Another interpretation of the pasuk. How many interpretations are we up to so far?
Three.
There's number three. Rabbi Chanina Amar Zu Tzina. It's a reference to cold that causes a person to get sick. Dom Rebchina, Hakol Bidei Shemaim, very good. Chutz Mitzinim Pachim. Everything is Bidei Shemaim, everything's up to Hashem, and you're not in control of it, except for illness that comes about as a result of cold. Why? Because you should listen to your grandmother. She says, wear a sweater, you wear a sweater, and then you'll avoid the illnesses of cold. Ah, Tisla Nitzel, Shkayach Tzadik.
Everybody, Chaim and Detsky, you just got him a shtender.
That's right, he's a Baal Chesed. We'll tell all the future Shiduchim. Okay, fantastic. So that chutz me, and the clown who said that was Yisrael Leibowitz.
That Ham was going first, that's it.
And thinks that his yichus is going to solve everything. I don't care how big a Talmud Chacham your uncle is. Okay, chutz me tzinim v'pachim, shenemar, tzinim v'pachim b'derech ikei shomer nafsho yirchak mehem. That a person who's shomer nafsho, a person who guards over himself, could stay away from tzinim v'pachim, could stay away from cold, could avoid illnesses that are brought about as a result of cold. Then the Gemara says, interpretation number 4. Rabbi Yosef Chanin Omer, Zu Tsoa. This is a reference to excess bodily waste. Da'amar Mar, Tsoas HaChotem V'Tsoas HaOzen. The excess, it's referring to mucus, I think, of the nose and of the ear. Rubon Kasha Umiyutan Yafa. If you have too much of it, it's bad for you. Too little of it, or very little of it, is good for you. Meaning you do need some mucus, but too much of it is very bad for you. Rabbi Lazar Omer, interpretation number 5, Zo Mara. That is a reference to the Mara. What's Mara?
Bitter.
So Mar means bitter, but this is, what is it? I'm not remembering the word in English. It's, there's a part of the body that produces Mara. What's Mara? What? The gallbladder. There we go. So tiny the bile, exactly. So that's the good. Tiny nami hachi. So we have a brisa that says machla zumara. Lama nikrashma machla. Why is it called machla? Shehi machla mechala kol gufa shaladim, because it damages your entire body. Davar acher machla sheshmonim shlosha chalaim tluyim b'mara. It's called machla because there are 83 illnesses, which is the gematria of the word machla. Yeah, do the math. You're too jet lag. Do the math. Someone else do the math. 83, right? That depend on the gallbladder. V'kulan pas shachris b'melech v'kiton shalmayim mevataltan. And a good breakfast solves all of them. What's a good breakfast? A little bit of bread in the morning in salt and a jug of water will be mevatal all of them.
You don't need
okay.
The gallbladder. I mean, that wasn't known.
The bile that it produces apparently could be very damaging.
Right, I'm saying
yeah, I guess. Okay, so main point number one over here, the pasuk says that Moshe gives a bracha that Hashem will remove kol choli. Five interpretations of what kol choli means. Who remembers what they are? Number one,
Rav said first that it was just ayin
hara. Number two,
Shmuel, who said that it was
ruach. Number three, cold tzina. Right, that was Rav Chanina. Number four, mucus. Number five. File. Okay, excellent. Says the Gemara. Now, once we talk about breakfast, we spoke about pas shachris, the Gemara is going to tell us all the great things about having a good, healthy breakfast. Tana Rabban, shlosha asar dvarim nemru bepas shachris. I'll tell you 13 things about breakfast. I couldn't even, wow, 13 things. That's amazing. So, number one, matzeles, min ha chama. It saves a person from being damaged by heat. From the sun. Umin atzina. Number two, it saves you from cold. Umin hazikin. And it saves you from wind. Umin hamazikin. Number four, it saves you from the mazikin. What are the mazikin? The demons. Number five, umachimas pesi. It makes a fool smart. Wow. Number six, zochabadin. If you have some sort of din with somebody else, some sort of court case with somebody else, since you've eaten, you're going to think more clearly, and you're going to be able to present your tainos better to the Beis Din. You'll be able to present your case in a better way, so you're more likely going to succeed. Number seven, lilmod Torah. You'll be more successful in learning if you have breakfast. Number eight, lilamed. What's lilamed?
Teach.
Number nine, udvarav nishmain. People will pay attention to you because you'll have the patience to be able to explain things clearly to people where they'll want to pay attention. When you're hungry, you tend to get impatient. You tend to get a little more irritable, and students don't like the irritable teacher. Number 10, v'talmudo miskayim biyado. You'll retain your learning. Number 11, v'ein besaro malahevel. You're not going to sweat too much.
Oh, I need that.
Okay, I'm glad. Thank you for sharing. Number 12, v'nizkak li'ishto. If a person has hirhurei avera, if he eats breakfast, he's v'nizkak li'ishto v'enu mesave li'isha acheres. He'll only desire his wife and not any other woman. And number 13, v'horeges kina shebivnei me'ayim. And it will kill whatever worms are in his stomach. And some say it will also take away a person's sense of jealousy and instead give a sense of love in his heart. So he'll have that much more love in his heart because of breakfast. So most important meal of the day, it seems, breakfast, right? Seems like a good idea. What? All because of breakfast. Yeah, start your day off right.
Is this kind of like a hyperbole, or they're being serious here?
They're being serious, but it doesn't mean that it's an automatic, right? Meaning it's not like a trick. You're a less irritable person because you're not hungry, then you're likely to succeed in all different sorts of areas in life. They did a study of Israeli... this was in one of Malcolm Gladwell's books, I think. They did a study of an Israeli appeals court. Not an appeals court. I mean, what do they do when someone's in prison and they judge whether they get out on good behavior?
Parole,
right? A parole board, an Israeli parole board, and they discovered that in the last hour before lunch, nobody got paroled. Everyone was sent back to jail, like a very tiny percentage of people. And the 2 hours before that, a much higher percentage of people. And they realized, because when you're hungry, you're just irritable. So like the last hour before lunch, everyone's like, ah, just send it back to jail. You know, they didn't. So anyway, so it's good to... Now, if you overeat, you also don't feel it. Pas shachrus meant a little bit of bread with salt, some water. It didn't mean like, a 10-course meal. It didn't mean a whole box of Dunkin' Donuts and a box of those pretzels with the peanut butter inside. Amalei Rabba l'Rava Bar-Mari. Rabba said to Rava Bar-Mari, Minoha milsa damri inchi. What's the source for the thing that people always say? Shitin rihiti rahut v'lomatu l'gavra d'mitzafra karach. You could run 60 sprints and you're not going to catch up with the guy who ate a good breakfast. Meaning, a guy who eats a good breakfast is like, he's good. V'amr Rabbanan, and the Rabbanan say, Hashkem ve'achal, wake up early and eat breakfast, b'kayitz, mipnei achama, in the summertime so that you'll be protected from the sun, u'b'charif mipnei atzinan, in the wintertime to protect you from the cold. Amrle, you want to know what the source is? So Rava Bar Mari said back to Rabba, Dichsiv, it's because the Pasuk says, when it describes, in the Navi Yeshayahu, it describes the ultimate ge'ula, lo yiravu, v'lo yitzma'u, you will not be hungry, you will not be thirsty, v'lo yakim sher v'shemesh, and therefore you will not be affected by the heat and the cold. V'lo yakim sher v'shemesh, kibin d'lo yiravu, v'lo yitzma'u, it means that you're not going to be affected by the elements because you're not hungry and you're not thirsty. So Amr Lei, Rabba said back to Rava Bar Mari, at Amrit Li Mehasam, you're telling me it's from that pasuk, va'ana minalach mehacha, but I'll tell you it's from a different pasuk. Va'vadtem es Hashem Elokeichem. Pasuk says in Sefer Shemos, va'vadtem es Hashem Elokeichem. What does that mean? You serve Hashem your God. Uverach es lachmecha ve'es memecha, and He will bless your bread and your water. Pasuk goes on. Rasiyosim achlam mikrevecha. Hashem will remove the illness from you. So we darshan. Va'vadtem es Hashem Elokeichem. Zukri Hashem el tefila. What's avoda when we say avadtem es Hashem Elokeichem? That's a reference to Kriya Shema and davening. Meaning shachris. Uverach es lachmecha ve'es memecha. Zu pas b'melech v'kiton shamayim. Then you'll have a good breakfast. When do you eat breakfast? After davening. Mikan ve'elach v'asirosi machlo mikirbecha. So if you have the proper morning schedule, Kriya Shema, Shachris, breakfast, then you're going to be good. You'll be very healthy. So main point number two over here, breakfast is awesome. Okay. Breakfast really sets the right tone for the day. Yeah, great commercial. 13 great things that happen as a result of breakfast, including being able to protect you from the elements. Okay, now the Gemara is just going to tell us a number of other things that Rav Yehuda said. Once we're quoting Rav Yehuda. Samalei Rav Yehuda l'Rav Ada Mishocha'a. Rav Yehuda says Rav Ada Mishocha'a. What does Mishocha'a mean? So you would think it's the name of a place, but over here it means someone who's a land surveyor. What? What's that? What's a land surveyor? Are you a Republican or Democrat? What does a land surveyor mean? He measures the properties and is able to determine exactly where the borders are and things like that. Growing up, we had a very large backyard. My parents had a very large backyard. And then at some point in my teenage years, my backyard got smaller by 4 feet. Because the neighbor was selling his house and he brought in a land surveyor, and it turns out that the guy that owned the house before my parents had just built a fence 4 feet in the wrong place on purpose, because it was an old lady that lived behind him. He figured she wouldn't notice anyway, so he stole 4 feet of property so that we had to give it back because it wasn't ours. So that's what land surveyors do. That's what they do. That's actually a true story. So I'm going to review the Rav Ada Mishocha'a. Lo tzalzel b'mishichasa. Do not be mezalzel. Don't be, you have to be very careful about how carefully, about how precisely you measure. To kol porta uporta, chazulu korka marishka. Every little piece of land, you can plant a garden which is the best of the gardens. So if you're not careful, you may be causing significant damage. Even just a small plot of land, you could do something really great on. Another instruction that Rav Yehuda gave about measuring land is as follows. Amalei Rav Yehuda l'Rav Ada Mishocha. Rav Yehuda again to the same land surveyor. Arba Amos Da'anigra. What does that mean? Those four amos that people stay away from a spring of water that brings water to their fields, meaning there's the first four amos near the water source, they wouldn't plant in those four amos. Zilzel buhu, you're allowed to be mezalzel in how to measure them. You don't have to measure them exactly right. Da'anahara, but the four amos that you stay away from the river, not from a spring, but from a river, lo tim shachanhu klal. Don't even measure them at all. You don't need to be careful at all about that. So you don't need to be so careful about measuring from a spring. You don't need to be careful at all when you're measuring from a river. Okay, the Gemara explains what all this is about. Rav Yehuda l'tamei. This is Rav Yehuda l'shita. So, the Amar Rav Yehuda, arba amos da anigra, the bnei anigra, da nahara du kuli alma. The four amos at the edge of a spring of water belong to the people who own the fields around it. So if you make a mistake in that measurement, you're only going to be damaging those people, those individuals. But da anahara du kuli alma, the four amos around the edge of a river belong to everybody. So I must have said it wrong. So therefore, it's going to be more damaging. It's going to be damaging to everybody. So don't measure them at all. When he said don't measure them at all, what he meant was not ignore it entirely. What he meant was make sure that you measure it with your eyes, like to make sure that you left enough off that goes unplanted, that you're absolutely certain that it's Dalet Amos. You don't sit there with a tape measure. Just say, look at an area that's for sure Dalet Amos, Berevach, that you have more than Dalet Amos. Okay, so that's how we told them to survey the land. So another thing about leaving land unplanted by a river, says the Gemara, Machriz Rabbi Ami. Rabbi Ami announced, Melo Kasvi Nagdi Betray Abinara Kotsu, that someone who finds a forest or trees that are planted by the edge of a river on two sides of the river, he should cut them down to the point that that people who are pulling a boat up ashore should be able to have space to be able to carry what they need to carry. Because they're pulling the ropes to tie the boat up, they should be able to stand the boat up. And if there are trees in the way, it would just cause damage. So you have to leave that area around for the boats. So Gemara brings a story relating to that. Rav Nosson Bar Hoshaya cuts Shitzara Masa. Rav Nosson Bar Hoshaya cut down trees that were planted, how many amos? 16 amos next to the river. Asu Ale B'nei Mashronya. The people from the city of Mashronya came, dafnuhu, they gave him malchus, they hit him for what he did. Who suffers from Nosson Bar Hoshaya thought that the amount of space that he left, Kirishus HaRabin, that you're supposed to leave that amount of space, 16 amos, because that's the size of Rishus HaRabin. Velohi, but he was incorrect in that assessment. Hasam bi'inan kulehai. By Rosh Hashanah, you need 16 amos of space for Rosh Hashanah. Hachem mishumam tuchei ashleyanhu. Over here, you just need enough space to be able to pull the boats up. Kimlo kasvi nagdi sagi. It's enough to just leave enough room for the people to schlep the ropes of the boat onto the shore. So 16 amos was way too much to leave unplanted. That was not the right thing to do. Another story relating to this. Rabba bar Rav Huna havalehu abba aguda denara. He had a forest that was right near the river. Amrulei nekutzmar. They said you should cut down the trees. Amrulehu, Rabbi Rav Huna says, Kotsu iloi v'tasai. First, I want to see the people who live right upstream from me and the people who have the area right downstream from me. I want to see them cut their trees down. V'hadar nekutzana. And then I'll cut mine. Meaning, it's not going to help if I'm if there are all these properties along the river, and I'm going to be the only one that cuts the trees that are right next to the river, and the guy that lives a little bit upstream doesn't cut his trees, the guy that lives a little downstream doesn't cut his trees, so let's see what everyone else does. So ask the Gemara, Hechi Avad Hachi, how could he do that? How could he not cut his first? Vaksiv, doesn't the pasuk say in Tzafanya, the most famous pasuk in Tzafanya, doesn't have a lot of competition, Hiskoshishu Vakoshu. What's his koshu v'koshu? Amrei Shlakish, kshot atzmecha v'achar kach kshot acherim. First, you need to take care of your own stuff, and then you can start looking at other people. Meaning, you can't start accusing other people of not doing the right thing. You first have to make sure you do the right thing. So, what are we asking? Yeah, how come he's delaying? Saying, oh, I'm not going to cut the trees until everybody else does. Let's see everyone else do it first, then I'll do it. No, a leader is not supposed to take that attitude. You're supposed to take the exact opposite attitude. You're supposed to say, I'm going to do the right thing, and hopefully I'll lead, and other people will follow, and other people will also do the right thing. Says Gemara Hassam, no, over there where it was, where Rabba's forest was planted, Abba Debe Parzik Rufila Hava. The forest that was upstream from him, downstream from him, belonged to a very important government official, and he knew that they were never going to agree to cut their forest. Va'amar, and he said, "I kaitzu if kaitzana. If the government is willing to do it, then their properties, I'll do my properties. V'lo kaitzu. But if not, amai ekutz. What value is there going to be if I cut mine? Di mamtechiluhu ashalaihu mistagiluhu. Because if they're able to pull the boats on the next to the rivers where the trees are planted, then they'll be able to work there. V'lo lo mistagiluhu. And if they're not able to pull the boats next to the river, then when they go by the forest of the guy upstream and downstream from me, they're not going to be able to do it anyway. So they'll have to go to the other side of the river anyhow. Meaning, apparently they need more space than he has along that side of the river. So he says, look, if I'm not going to be able to convince the governor to cut his forest, then there's no value whatsoever in me cutting my forest. Because the whole point of cutting away that area of forest is to make room for people to schlep their boats. My space is not enough space for people to schlep their boats anyway. They need the space upstream and downstream from me. And this guy's an important, powerful person. He's not going to be interested. Last little piece to finish off this section. So the Gemara tells us what happened to Rabba Bar Rav Huna's forest in the end. Rabba Rav Nachman haba ka'azil ba'arba. Rabba Bar Rav Nachman was going on a boat on that river where Rabba Bar Rav Huna's forest was. Chazahu Abba, the Kaya Gudud Nahara. He saw the forest planted by the riverbank. Amar Luhu Diman. So Rabbi Rav Nachman said to the people around him, who owns this forest? Amrulay, they said, De Rabba Bar Rav Huna. It belongs to Rabbi Rav Huna. Amar, so Rabbi Rav Nachman said about this. He referred to a pasuk that talks about the Jewish people when they married non-Jewish women in the beginning of the period of Bayis Sheni in Sefer Ezra. V'yad hasarim v'askanim haisa b'mal hazeh rishona. That the most chashuv people in the Jewish nation sinned first. So we hear also, Rabbi Bar Rav Huna was one of the great gedolim, and he's not fulfilling the takana of the chachamim that you're supposed to cut down the trees next to the river. So Amar Lahu, so Rabbi Bar Rav Nachman said to the men, kutsu kutsu, cut down the forest. After he cut it down, asa Rabbi Bar Rav Huna ashkeche dekayetz. Rabbi Bar Rav Huna came and he found that the forest was cut. Amar man katya takutz anpe. He said, whoever cut down my forest, His branches should be cut down. What does it mean, his branches? When you say a person's branches, his offspring, exactly. His own children should die. What's someone cutting my forest for? Whoever did this, his children should die. This is something that we find a lot, that we have a pasuk here, Adam Eitz HaSadeh, that a person is compared to a tree. Ilan Ilan Bamea Varechacha, right? The famous song and Gemara. It's all about the fact that a tree is a metaphor for a person. So the branches that emerge from the tree are the offspring that comes from the person. Amri, Kulu Shnei Rabbi Rav Huna Lo Ikayim Lezara LeRabbi Rav Nachman. As long as Rabbi Rav Huna was alive, Rabbi Rav Nachman's children never survived. Every time Rabbi Rav Nachman had more children, they died because of that curse. So he thought that he had to cut down this forest because this great gadol was not cutting his own forest. But because he did it, he got cursed, and all of his children ended up dying. So what would be the main point over here? Yikes, what would be the main point over here? But before that, we have that you have to leave, that really the halacha is the chan mele takana, that you're not allowed to plant right up against, right near the river. Right? And then we have this one story where Rabbi Rav Huna left his trees growing by the river because he thought it wouldn't help to cut him down. And someone else cut them down. He cursed the person who cut him down, and that person remained cursed.
Don't tamper with
the dough. Yeah, in general, when someone gives a klala, you know, the Gemara says that a birchas hedyot al te kalabei nechel, even when an idiot gives a bracha, you should take it seriously. And certainly when a gadol.
I can't give a bracha.
And the same is true. And the same is true when it comes to a curse. A killa said yaldat and kal beinecha either. When even when a fool gives a curse, but certainly when a tzaddik or a big talmud chacham gives a curse, it's something to take very very seriously. We have a notion that tzaddik goes there. How does it go? Tzaddik goes there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekayim. That the tzaddik says it makes a gzera, and Hashem fulfills the gzera of the tzaddik. So one has to be very, very careful. That's the famous story of the Ragachavar. You know the famous story of the Ragachavar? The Ragachavar was a Hasidish Rebbe. You know which story I'm about to tell?
He was the opposite.
Yeah? Israeli, know which story? With the bracha? He's not the Rebbe. He's the Ragachavar Gaon. He was Hasidish Lubavitcher Chassid. And he lived in a city called Vinsk. There were a little Rameir Simcha. So there were two great great gedolim lived in this little two by nothing shtut in Poland, this little or Russia, wherever it was, this little town called Vinsk. Rav Meir Simcha and the Ragachavar. So anyway, the Ragachavar was known to be a very sharp-tongued person. He's someone who didn't hold any punches. So one time the Ragachavar was sitting with another rabbi, and a person comes to the Ragachavar and says, can you give me a bracha? And the Ragachavar was not into that. Even though he was Hasidish, he wasn't into a lot of that kind of thing. So he was not into giving a bracha. He said, no, I'm not going to give a bracha. It's not my thing. I don't do that. So the other rabbi said to the Ragachavar, you know, the Gemara says that even the bracha of a hedyot, of an idiot, means something. So kal v'chomer, your bracha should mean something. So the Ragachavar said, I have a better idea. Instead of me giving a bracha with a kal v'chomer, why don't you give a bracha and you don't even need a kal v'chomer? Got it? Okay, good. So that's the story they say about the Ragachavar. That story is printed, if I'm not mistaken, in Ishim Veshitos of Zevin Sefer. Oh, he wasn't into it. It's a good line, right? A good line. Yeah. Okay. Saul approved. Oh, I don't know. I don't know if the latter Rebbe gave a bracha. Okay. Now that we got that.